Well, good morning and welcome. I'm glad that you're here today. I want to welcome those who are watching online. I want to confess that a couple times a year, I preach under the influence, and today's one of those Sundays. So who knows what's going to happen? I get allergy attacks periodically, and yesterday was one of those days, so I start taking medication. It doesn't fix it. It doesn't work, so I take more medication. It doesn't work, so I take more medication. And before you know it, I feel like I am right now. It's like, hey, what's up with you? So we have no idea where we're going to go with this, but we're going to have a lot of fun. I hope that when you walk through those doors, you have a sense of belonging. And whether you're at this campus or one of our campuses or watching online, we want everyone to feel welcome. We're glad that you're here. If you don't know me, if you're new here, my name is Barry. I'm the lead pastor of Bridgewater, and I'm really glad that you're here. Today, we're going to start a new series called Radical Hospitality. And we've basically stole the idea of this series from a guy named, Dr. Richard Beck. And he wrote a book named Radical Hospitality, Creating a World Without Strangers. And he's also led some small group seminars. And so we're stealing some information from him. And hopefully it's something that challenges you. I know the introverts right now are freaking out. It's like, the extroverts are going, yes, this is awesome. But really, God has created all of us to not live in necessarily isolation, but to live in community. And there are people that are more social than others. But if we're going to carry out the mission of making more and better disciples of Jesus Christ, radical hospitality really has to be a part of that and where we serve other people. So when we talk about radical hospitality, one of our values that we have is called Found People, Find People. And it's our responsibility to continue to reach out and serve other people and love other people. Here's the problem. We create barriers. Sometimes we create the barrier. Sometimes they create the barriers. And sometimes it's hard to break those barriers down because of things like fear, our inability to start a conversation. Sometimes we just don't care. And so when it comes to those people who live in our community, those people that we go to picnics with, sometimes we kind of like to stay to ourselves and we really don't want to put ourselves out there because it's uncomfortable. Radical hospitality is where people really live out their faith in a way that they're looking for opportunities to serve other people, that the love of Christ would really shine through them to where it's just a simple good morning. It's having compassion to someone and opening the door and saying, man, I hope you have a great day. It's helping someone who dropped their groceries. It's coming over and saying, you know what, I'm going to go out of my way, even though it may be a little bit of an inconvenience, to serve someone else. And so we're going to be talking about hospitality over the next couple of weeks. Hospitality actually means love of strangers. It's overcoming our fear, our uneasiness to reach out to other people, whether they're far from God. And even importantly, today we're talking about reaching out to those people who are in our family. And so we're going to talk about radical hospitality. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jeff and I were out at a restaurant. And one of the things that I do, and sometimes it's annoying to my wife, is that I can start a conversation like with anybody, anywhere, at any time. I don't care what you do. I want to have a conversation. And so I'm in a restaurant. I usually talk to the servers, and we have a great time. I laugh with them and kid with them, typically make fun of them, do whatever it takes. And so I asked her the question. I said, are you from the area? And she said, yes. I said, where'd you grow up? And where'd you go to high school? And she said, I went to Susquehanna Valley High School. I went, oh, cool. When'd you graduate? And she said, oh, about 7 years ago. I said, that's neat. So I said, do you know of any good churches down that way in Conklin? Don't ask that question if you don't want the answer to it. So I asked her the question, and she hadn't been back to the community. She goes, well, no. I said, wasn't there like a church that started up like in a, because I never tell people I'm a pastor. I try to go incognito. And so I said, isn't there a church that started in the old True Value Hardware store down there? Nope, not that I know of. So she goes, as I remember, there was only two churches in the area, and we weren't one of them. And as we talked about it, you could sense that she was far from God. And I thought to myself, our mission isn't finished, right? We have a responsibility to continue to reach out in our community and make the name of Christ known, but not just what we say, but by the way we live. And so I hope that you're challenged through this series. So what are the barriers in your life that keep you from talking to a server at a restaurant, a family member that you're at a picnic with, or a coworker where you're employed? What are the barriers that you've created? And what we're asking you to do is kind of break down some of those barriers and begin to reach out and serve other people and love them. So for the introverts, I'm going to ask you to step it up a little bit because you're sitting there going, this is uncomfortable. We do have a defibrillator in the back because some people are like freaking out. And but for those extroverts, please don't go out and tackle the first person you see, all right? Hey, I want to be your friend. Or do you know about Jesus? And so we want you to tone it down a little bit. But what we want to do is make sure that all of us are radically hospitable to other people. So where do we? How do we live a life where there's no strangers? How do we make Christ known by the way we live our lives and by what we say? We're going to be opening in the book of Hebrews. And if you could open your copy of the text, we're also going to have the verses on the screen. But if you can open your books to Hebrews, the end of chapter 12, we're going to be looking at chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 today. And as we talk about Hebrews, we need to understand that the background of this book is that there are Jewish people who grew up with all these traditions, all this law. They had to live by certain things. You ate certain food on certain days. You washed your hands certain ways. They went through all of this law stuff. And all of a sudden they were introduced to Jesus and they accepted Christ as their personal Savior. The problem they were having is the fact that while we believe in Christ being the Savior of the world, they were having a hard time getting away from the stuff of the Old Testament. So they believed in Jesus, but they kept drifting back to the Old Testament. So they were wrestling and wrapping their minds around, trying to wrap their minds around law versus grace, the supremacy of Christ, and even what it looked like to live in community in a church. And so this is where we start at the very end of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Now, I want you to understand, we're setting the stage for the next verses. When this was written, there weren't chapter breaks, there weren't verses. And so this concept flows to the very next concept. And we talk about worship in verse 28, where, so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. We just got off a series on worship. And remember we talked about worship being a whole life response to the glory and to the greatness of God. When we live our life, when we go to work, when we decided to live in obedience, it's out of respect and awe to God. Because really, our life to God, if we truly worship Him, is a whole life response to Him. It's giving Him every element of our life. And hospitality is a part of that. So it goes on to 13:1. It says this, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. First thing you need to understand is radical hospitality starts on the inside. When we talk about brothers and sisters, we're not talking about the people you grew up in the house with, the people you looked across the hallway, couldn't stand, you would torment them. We're not about those brothers and sisters. We're talking about people here within the context of the church. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior and we're part of the body of Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Back in the day, the old day, they would say, oh, Brother Bob, good to see you today. Sister Renee, it's good to see you today. It's talking about living in community with one another. And really our call is this, that we need to love one another. And one of the ways that we show love to one another is by being hospitable to one another, by serving one another, by loving one another. It's coming alongside those people in life who've made really bad decisions. We've talked about that previously. When people walk through those doors and they're hurting, and they've made poor decisions, we're not going to shoot our wounded, right? We're going to love them. There are people who go through things in life to where they're struggling emotionally, whether it's fear, whether it's anxiety, whatever it is. It's coming alongside people who are struggling and literally extending hospitality to them. You're going from being strangers to hopefully being acquaintances to being friends. It's our job. And it starts inside. It's coming alongside people who are having a very difficult time in life, whatever it may be, and realizing that we are willing to be inconvenienced in some way to serve them. It's taking our time. It's taking our energy. It's taking our resources. It's even taking the areas of expertise to serve other people. See, sometimes people go to church today, and what they do is they walk through the door and they say, you know what? What can I get out of this today? And so we become very consumer-minded. It's like going to a fast food restaurant Did they meet my need today or not? Did I walk out of the service feeling good or not? But I want you to know that as part of the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to walk through the doors and to say, what can I do to serve someone else? How can I take my gifts, my abilities, my time, my talents, and serve someone else? When you go to church, it's not about what you necessarily get out of it. Well, that's important. It's how God can use you in the midst of that assembly to help people become less like this world, more like Him. Do you remember the days where people would like actually invite others over for dinner after church? Some of you guys were like over 45 or 50. You remember those days? And there were families, those weird families in church. They would make like a ton of food. And they'd make more than their family needed. And they actually went to church with this intent. We want to invite someone over after church. We don't know who it is. And we're going to stalk them. And so what they do is they would go to church and they would look for like a visitor, someone who is new to the community, and say like, I don't know if you have a place to go afterwards, but we have tons of food at home. We made more than we needed. We would love to have you come over. Basically, we would love to serve you. There's other people who would use it as an opportunity to look at people who are hurting. You talk to those young parents or single mom, and they're like running through the door, dragging their kids, and they're exhausted. Hey, like, I know you got a busy week and you really don't have to stay long, but what we'd love to do is have you in our home afterwards. And we'll feed you. You can do whatever you want to do. You can take off afterwards. You can stay if you want. But we just want to serve you. It's radical, but it's what God's called us to. I remember when we were first starting in a church, I was young. I was in my 20s. And there was a family who was very well-to-do. She grew up on the mission field. He was a doctor. And it was funny, she had a really hard time with their resources that they had. Really had a hard time with it because the way she grew up, this was almost like sin to have this stuff. And so when her husband wanted something, she would keep coming to me and he would use me to help her think through how they could use the stuff that he wanted for ministry. And so he wanted a pool. So I said, could you imagine how we could use this pool for the glory of God? So they built this amazing pool. I'm talking amazing. Like, I'm talking magazine amazing, rock for it. Like, it was beautiful. And so she said, all right, we built the pool. Now, every week in the summertime after church, we're going to have four or five families over, people that we don't know. We're inviting them in every week through the summertime, and we're going to spend time with them, and we're going to get to know people. Some of you introverts are going, I couldn't breathe. So they went through the summer inviting people over, and man, they had a ton of people in their home. And so at the end of the summer, I asked them the question, and I said, hey, what's your takeaway? What's your takeaway from this summer of spending time with so many people that you didn't know, inviting people in your home? What was your takeaway? And this was interesting. This is what they said. We invited all these people into my home, our home. We served them. We made stuff. And we swam. We had a great time. We laughed. And not one person ever called us and said, hey, why don't you come over to our house? Not one person said, hey, let's get together and go out to dinner. Not one person said, hey, you want to do a game night together? I think you'd be surprised. And as you look around this room, how many people would benefit from radical hospitality? So I told my wife, I said, we've got him over to our house. Now, again, they have this beautiful home. I was like making less than $20,000 a year as a youth pastor. And we live, like, there's a stop sign at the end of the road. The other side was a housing project of the city. Like, we were not in a nice place. Our home was not nice. But I said, Kim, we have to. So he said, come on over. And can I be honest with you? I was embarrassed by our home. Fed them dinner. We played games. We laughed together. We goofed around. And when they walked out the door, they looked at us and said, you have no idea what it meant to us that you would have us into your home. Folks, I want you to know radical hospitality starts inside. Sometimes we don't do it because we're afraid of failure. What if we reach out to somebody and say, hey, we'd love to have you in our home? Yeah, no thanks. Or what if we invited people over and they won't go away? It's like, sometimes it's just the fact of being inconvenienced. And it takes a lot of energy, and we just don't want to be inconvenienced in our life. But you need to know this. Hospitality, in the context of his church, was never intended to be only on Sunday mornings. We're called to do community together, to do life together, to serve one another. It's spending time with people where we can laugh. It's spending time where we can cry together. It's spending time where they can help us and encourage us in our faith. It's those people who can speak into our lives when we're not thinking biblically. This family I talked about, I remember I have a tendency to be a little wound up. You know, I know it's a shock. If I'm not under the influence, I'm really wound up. But I remember a couple times I was pretty stoked. And I got fired up about something. And this guy was awesome. He would sit there. He was a calm guy. And I'd go, and he would just look at me and go, Barry, I'm not sure that's what we want to do. We didn't have to have a big conversation. We didn't have to go out to dinner. All he had to say to me was, I'm not sure that's what we want to do. We benefited from hospitality. It's where strangers go from strangers to acquaintances to friends. That's what it says. This is what John said. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing. For the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. And we ought to therefore show hospitality to such people so that they may work together for the truth. They're saying, like, thank you. These people are in the cause. They're part of the mission. They're out there trying to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. And you took the time to be hospitable to them. Thank you for what you're doing. In fact, as he went down later, he came back and rebuked people for not being hospitable, and he applauded those who were hospitable. We're on the same team. We have the same mission. We need to serve one another. And John's saying, for those who are doing it, thank you. I appreciate what you have done. Please understand that radical hospitality must start on the inside. Secondly, radical hospitality needs to be intentional. Because, listen, if we're not being intentional, it's not going to happen. We're busy. We have Little League games to go to, right? We have yards to mow. We have Netflix series to watch. We got stuff happening. And if we're not going to put hospitality on our calendar, it's not going to happen. We must be intentional. He goes on in Romans chapter 13, verse 2. I mean, Romans, Hebrews 13, 2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. Now, don't use this as your motivation, right? Hey, let's have people over. Who knows who's going to show up? We may have angels show up. In that day, we didn't have a lot of Ritz-Carltons, right? So people would travel, and as they traveled, people would put other people up. And Christians would put other Christians up. And so sometimes when you have people in your home, you're not really sure who you have in your home. It makes you a little nervous. Like, are these people on our team or are they not on our team? And as you went down this road, as you served other people, he's going back to the allusion of the Old Testament. Remember Abraham and Sarah when they invited people in? It was angels. Lot, it was angels. Gideon, it was angels. He said, who knows who's coming into your house? But listen, you need to be intentional by reaching out to other people and helping them. I think you need to look around and realize that there's people who can benefit from your radical hospitality. But the tension exists, the fact of saying, how do I get out of my seat? How do I start a conversation? How do I walk across the room and say, good morning, my name is... And so we wrestle with this tension of living in isolation or reaching out and serving other people with the intent of saying, this may go from being strangers to acquaintance to friends. Maybe you're not a person who struggles with that. Maybe you just have so much going on right now in life that, hey, well, we don't need another person in our life. But there are many people who sit there on a Friday night and say, you know, it'd be nice just to hang out with somebody that you could just laugh with, that you can play games with. There's no agenda. Nobody's trying to get anything out of anybody else. It's just the fact that we're just friends. I remember when I was in high school, even in college, there's always a ton of people that I hung around with, always. And in some combination or another, you would always be together to the place where your parents would go, like, seriously, enough's enough. Like, can you stay home, like, one night? You would do stuff. You would go, like, to people's homes. You go to ball games at school. Go to the movies, go to the malls, go to a party. But you hung out all the time. Growing up as a Vestal kid, some of you were, I'm gonna date myself, but we would meet, my mom's in the auditorium. She doesn't know this, she does now. But we would always meet behind the V drive-in. You remember the V drive-in? Okay, great for the three of you, that's awesome. So anyways, there used to be a V drive-in where like Sam's Club is, right? So there's a big drive-in theater and we would sit there and we would like hang out as high school students in the back of the V drive-in. But then life happens. You either get out and you go to college or you get a job. Before you know it, you find someone, you get married, you have kids, you buy your first house, it needs a lot of repairs. And before you know it, you look around and you're going, what happened? It's Friday night and you're like, what happened? Who are we going to call? Your world got a lot smaller. Your friends moved away. Your spouse doesn't like your friends, or they don't like the person that they married. Why not be more intentional in building relationships, showing hospitality? You know, every service we have, and we've debated whether to do this or not, but we've debated the fact, you know, this whole grip and grin thing that we do. Hey, you know, Aaron gets done playing the guitar, being the hippie kid up here, hey, singing a song. And then he says, hey, before you sit down, before you sing your next song, what does he tell you to do? Say hi to someone. Shake a hand. Greet them. Introverts start to hyperventilate. And they stand there and go, if I don't move and I don't look around, maybe they won't see me. The extroverts, you could tell who they are because they're like climbing over the furniture, over the chairs, trying to get the people to say, good, I'm glad to see you today. But what if we were just more intentional? And some of you may sit there and go like, what do I do? Let me tell you some practical things to do. When we say, hey, just say hi to somebody, be nice to somebody, just get their name. Because you guys are all creature of habits. I know where you all sit, right? I was kidding around, wasn't I? Hey, here's your row, sit here, okay? Because I know, oh, you sit here, you sit in this row. I know where you sit. And the people who sit around you basically sit in the same place. Get to know a name. When you walk up, say, my name is, we've sat by each other for a year, and we say hi every single week, but I don't know who you are. My name is, you know what's amazing? Hey, we missed you last week. Oh, we were on vacation. Where'd you go? Yeah, we're not going to be here next week. Our kid's getting married. Could you imagine when they got back in, if you who sat in your little section actually looked at the person and said, how'd your kid's wedding go? You would blow their mind. They would feel like they're being stalked if you remember their name. And if you remember their story. Get a name. People want to be known by their name. You know, secondly, one of the things you could do is before you're sitting down, it's like, I love watching people when they sit down, the music gets louder and louder, and you're like, whew, the service is starting soon. We don't have to talk to anybody. And you sit there and like you don't look around. It's like sort of like you're the only one sitting in a row. Nobody's even around you. You're just like looking forward. There's nothing up here, right? It's like there's like, don't look around. Don't look around. Could you imagine if you actually looked around and said, hey, there's a guy with a Harley shirt on. And you walked over and said, hey, do you ride? Or remember last week when the pastor said all guys are jerks? You remember that? I saw your wife elbow you. My bruise is just going away. How about yours? Maybe we should start a small group on battered husbands. You know, you want to go really even farther? As you're sitting in your section, say, you know what? We talk a lot. You know, I'm glad you had your kid at a wedding and your name's Bob. And I want you to know this. Almost every week after we leave here, we go out to eat. would you ever be interested in joining us? I think you'd be surprised. And people may go, that'd be awesome. We would love to do that. Or you could invite people to your small group and say, hey, our group meets on Tuesday. I'm not sure if it works for you or not, but I'd love to have you come to our small group and give it a try. So what we're going to do, this is so important. So we're going to take 3 minutes in our service, and we're going to turn the lights up, and we're going to make you go talk to people that you don't know. And the goal is you have to invite them over to your house for dinner. Okay? You guys ready? See? In the first service, the one person goes, I thought I was going to faint. Like, really? Like, we're not going to do that, all right? Freaked you introverts out, didn't we, huh? Look at you. They're sweating. Like, people are going, he was going to do that. But can I encourage you to just be more intentional? Get involved in small groups. We have small groups sign up in the back. Get connected in community. Do life with other people. They help you in your spiritual journey, but it's also building friendships. I want to encourage you to get involved. Do you know back in the day, it still may be the statistic, but back in the day, the number one reason people came to church and left church was this. It had nothing to do with music, even though people want to talk about music all the time, and it had absolutely nothing to do with the preaching. It had everything to do with the relationships. If people didn't build a relationship within the first year of a church, they ended up riding off into the sunset. It's about relationships. I want to encourage you towards community. The other thing you could do is this. I want to encourage you towards doing ministry. Because when you're part of ministry team, we have the Say Yes campaign. And when you do ministry, you begin to build relationships with other people because you're on the same team. Sometimes, yes, I have to get on our guest service people because I'll walk around and what I see is our guest service people doing, they're talking to each other, right? Hey, this is great. I'm fine. This is, you see the game? And people are like walking by them as they go by and say, hey. There's people walking in the church. Could you at least say hi to them? Because they get so tied up into building relationships with their team. When we have work days, don't make fun of me, but I don't work, right? I come to work days for one reason. It's for relationships. So you'll see me bebopping around a work day and just talking to people, making fun of them. Seriously, that's the best you got painting, really? But I talk to people. I listen to their story. I meet with a pastor periodically. He's in the largest church in the northeast part of Pennsylvania. We get together, we talk. And I said to him, why do you keep doing like your discovery class? He said, because it's the only opportunity I have to build a relationship with the people. The bigger we've gotten, the more I'm removed from the people. And it's my way to connect. That's why I love doing discovery class, because I get to hear your story. So can I encourage you to be intentional? I don't care in what way, whether it's through ministry, through small groups, by walking across the aisle during the grip and grin time, whatever it is, can I encourage you to try to build relationships, to go from basically strangers to acquaintances to friends. Finally and quickly, next point. Radical hospitality is completed on the outside. I think God calls us to being more than hospitable people in the walls. I think he called us to be hospitable to those people outside the walls. And in the future, we're going to talk about those who are far from God. But really the point in verse 3 is this. It's talking about those who are being friendly to people who are in other churches. They may not go to one of our campuses. They may not go to a church that has Bridgewater written on the side of their building. But I want you to know something. We're all part of the same team, right? We're all family. And there's times where community people look at churches and say, those guys don't even like each other. How attractive is God's church when the churches can't get along with each other? We have a responsibility to serve other people, those who are within our walls and those who are outside our walls. He goes on in verse 3 and says this, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. What he's saying is you need to care about people who are going through a difficult time because of their faith. They've taken a stand. Some of these people are in prison. They're having a difficult time in life. And what I want you to do is stand alongside them. I want you to serve them. you want to be attractive to people who are far from God as churches, then we need to work together. We have to. One of the things that we do as a church, and we talk about your giving and how important it is, and sometimes all you hear is like the parents on Charlie Brown, wah, 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 like you don't hear it. Do you understand when you give generously to this ministry, not only are you paying the lighting bill here at this campus, not only are you doing stuff where it's amazing that we have two people on our online campus who got saved, those are our first salvations online. That's awesome. 11 o'clock service, we're going to have our first baptism for an online person who wants to take their next step, and they're going to drive here, be here, and they're going to get baptized during 11 o'clock service. Guys, you understand you're part of that? And so things we try to do is we try to connect with the church. We have all access. We've talked about it before. We invite other churches in and say, hey, this is what we do. We haven't arrived yet, but we're going to be open-handed. If we have it, it's yours. We have our line conference. We keep inviting people to come. When we talk about guest services, student ministry, children's ministry, we talk about worship and production. When we talk about the different areas of our ministry, we not only serve our five campuses, we also invite other churches to say, come. And you know what? We give them books for free. We give them food for free. We take care of them. Why? Because they're our partners in ministry, and we want to give them everything we have to help them. We can't reach Broome County, Susquehanna County, Wyoming County, Delaware County, Shenango County. We can't do that alone. We're on the same team. We've got to work together. Listen to me. When churches start to act neighborly, I think communities are transformed. So if we're going to be a part of the mission of making more and better disciples of Jesus Christ, we have to learn to be radically hospitable to other people in the church and outside the church. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Here's what I want to challenge you to do this week. I want you to do one thing that be characterized as hospitality. One thing. I'm holding you accountable. When you walk in the door next week, I'm going to go, did you do something? And if not, we're going to have a paddle because you're going to get it. Do you know that neighbor that you talked about and said, you know, I look over and I see this elderly person who lives by themselves. And I see them over in their yard and I see them sitting on their porch. And we always say, we should do something. Go do something this week. Make a pie, bake a cookie, go sit on the porch and just have a conversation. Do something. You know the person at work, the single mom that's sitting there having a hard time, you know they're struggling, and you sit there and think to yourself, I should do something, but then you never do something. I want to challenge you to go do something this week. Put feet to the gospel. Be hospitable. Show love to brothers and sisters who are in the assembly, and show love to those people who are far from God. But do something this week. And who knows? You just may go from acquaintances to friends. Father, thank you so much. You're a big God, and in so many ways you continue to challenge us to live differently. Instead of being conformed to this world, you're asking us to be conformed to you. And for some, this is not a big deal, but there's many here who could benefit from not only receiving hospitality, but giving hospitality. So God, I pray that as a church, as an act of worship to you, we would love and we would serve other people. That we would be generous. God, I pray that you take that and use it to your glory. We ask in your Son's name.